Okay. Fernando, I don't know if you want to call the meeting to order or...
Yeah, I'll call the meeting to order, and I would ask that everybody at the table, please give us your name, starting with Rudy.
Rudy V. Hill, RAC TV Coordinator.
Vicki Davis.
Ross, maybe?
Larry Fuyan.
Fernando Alvarado. Right now, I want to say the new member that I know of is Vicki Davis. And welcome to the Cable Advisory Committee.
So,
you've done this before.
Yes, I have.
So you're not new. And Russ, who would be...
John Wallen, who I didn't get a response back from if he was going to make it or not, but he's not here right now. So.
Okay. Is there anybody here for public comment? Seeing no one, we'll move on. I'm going to ask Ross to discuss the cable franchise renewal, please.
Okay. Essentially, the city is still doing a month-to-month renewal with Charter on the franchise, which expired in, was it November of 16, Rudy, or November 15? November 16.
16.
And no movements really occurred since then. We did meet with Charter representatives all of a year ago on it, and the proposal that they gave to us was really just put the entire franchise into Charter's hands. It went so far as to allow them to do whatever they pretty much wanted in terms of doing things in our right-of-way without getting any city approval on it. Well, we weren't going to obviously move on that at all, and since then there has been no discussion with them, especially because Charter has dozens of outstanding franchises in the state that haven't been settled. We did speak to our cable attorney, and he's hoping that he can settle with another city and somewhat use that as a template potentially for getting the Wilmer one moving along a little bit. We discussed a few other things with him on that, but where we left it is that essentially myself, Rudy, Vicki, and Fernando are going to have to sit down here and probably sometime in the next several months and really kind of pinpoint a better draft that the city is going to propose to Charter with the franchise and what we are more or less what our negotiation is going to be on it. So in the meantime, we're hoping that, you know, it could settle with another city and that Mr. Grogan can get back to us on it with what he's, you know, has for a template with it. So that's kind of the overall summary of the franchise at this point. So really nothing's changed. We haven't had any other businesses come in, unfortunately, asking for a franchise. It's still just Charter. There was a merger that just occurred with them back in, or is going to occur, and that's, we went to the council with that. It was just a FCC 394 form that they're merging. It wasn't Time Warner. They're becoming Spectrum Mid-America, mm-hmm. So it just was.
Time Warner's a part of Charter.
That's it.
It's just a name change.
Yeah.
Spectrum. That was this thing you sent out, right?
Yep, correct. That was more or less a formality, the merging into a different company. So. Really nothing significant of impact has occurred with the franchise since then. So,
thank you.
Yep. Unless Rudy has some other points on it.
So. We're still living under the old one, so yep. we're fine. That's far better than settling and with what we couldn't settle. There's no way we could do anything with the Charter franchise that they had submitted. So
I know we discussed the PEG fee, and at this point we had no interest in implementing that either. So yeah.
There's some things that just need to be looked at. There's some opportunities now since Brian and their firm has worked with some other cities too. So we'll follow along a little bit and see what happens. And then hopefully there'll be a template that we can work with.
There was also a lot of discussion earlier on getting an additional local channel or something. Is that all still?
We already have it.
We've already got that?
Yeah, that was done. That was actually negotiated outside of the contract when they decided we allowed Charter to move our channels. And what we did is we were already, we asked for an HD channel because no one was getting HD channels. We were, I think, the first or the second in the state to get an HD channel. Mm-hmm. And then what we did is before the franchise expired in 16, yeah. we actually asked for the fourth channel. And we met with the charter, the government representative, and they looked over our scheduling. Because in order to get a second channel or a third channel or a fourth channel, you had to have a certain percentage of programming available or to fill capacity. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we asked for the fourth channel, because we knew that within some point that we would get an HD channel. And so we got the fourth channel, and then a year ago, year and about 5 months ago, we got the HD channel, which is channel 189.
You had mentioned Brian Grogan's name. He's our attorney that we work with on this committee, and that's his kind of his strength, you know, is working with various communities, governments to iron out these agreements. So he's a really good guy. He's on assignment, I'm going to say, for lack of a better way of saying it. I think he was working out of town, so he wasn't going to be available by phone. But generally, when we meet, if he's available, he will conference call in and answer our questions. Very, very down to earth. And you've heard Brian speak
to
us.
Yes.
And so, I've got nothing but high praise for Brian. We've been getting some, I was just going to ask you about programming, kind of, does that Somalian lady still come and speak?
She's taken about 3 weeks off because her, one of her kids was sick, and she couldn't get him or her, I don't know, in daycare, so she was staying at home, so she'll be back. Last week I talked to her, and she said as soon as she can, she's going to come back again.
Could you I'm terrible with names.
Leela.
Leela?
Yep.
Okay, good. Is there any other interesting public access stuff occurring that...
Well, in the studio we have, she comes in every week, and then every couple weeks we have James Miller comes in from the United Way, and Jody... Wombeck, who's on our advisory committee, comes in to do a program about community education. And so she'll talk about when the new book comes out, the catalog comes out for programs, and then she highlights a number of different ones from early childhood to young adult to seniors. And so she comes in every couple weeks too. And then Bob Enos has been coming in, and then he's also been recording the city council, city hall task force meetings too. Mm-hmm. So those in the studio, and then I'm also working with, because we're not doing a high school this year, I'm working and coordinating with community recreation, and every week and a half they bring three or four different adult youth leagues, either volleyball, co-ed, or men's or women's, hockey, and then basketball too. Good. So they come in and check out equipment.
Good.
And then of course we have eight churches that I work with on a weekly basis.
Good.
to get those programs in, along with the Master Gardeners. We have song fests. We have all kinds of local programs besides city council meetings. I was at the school board meeting last night recording that, and then also the county submits their meeting.
Great.
So
we also have staff that Rudy does a show also, and Dave occasionally submits new shows as he gets them produced for the city website, and for we'll put them on the rack. So. Yeah.
I have just been working with the Master Gardeners over. Usually I don't do anything in December, January, or February because there's not really a lot you can do for activities. So it's kind of
this
time
year will
to
be
catch
May
up.
Before they.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get back to doing that again too. So there's an awful lot that's going on still, you know, and those are just all the local programs too. There's a lot of other programs that we have access to through PEG Media. PEG Media is a website that we actually have programs on there too, so we can submit, it's all the best programs of public access. So instead of trying to duplicate something, mm-hmm. we can go there and try to find a show that's already been produced by a public education or government channel, and then we can actually just download it and we can air those programs too.
Okay.
So we've been doing that for, geez, probably 3-4 years now. It's been quite a while.
Yeah, all of 4 years.
And you've been happy with the quality?
Yeah, there's programs that we've downloaded that actually have won Emmys. So that the quality, the programming is very high quality.
Okay.
And you choose what you want. So we try to select programs that are health related, maybe cooking programs or something for our seniors in the community. Because we know the TV part of our channels are probably people that are, you know, 35 and up, and maybe even, you know, closer to maybe even 45, 50. So we try to put programs that, besides all the local ones, the other ones that have, you know, quality programming for those people too.
Great. Could you just, you talked about the PEG. Could you, do you know what those letters stand for?
The PEG is Public Education and Government.
Okay. So just for the record, so that people that might want to listen to this understands.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any other discussion as far as business that we should talk about? We've kind of highlighted a number of things.
I think one thing we want to make the committee aware of is the new City Hall and potentially RAC moving into that. Because I know we discussed that with Mr. Grogan too, and what he notified us of is that the fiber feeds that are going into the current RAC studio, if the new City Hall occurs to another location, that Charter will be responsible for within 60 days of us notifying that there's a new location going up, essentially giving us a quote or contracting that out to get that fiber moved, but that the cost would be borne by the city on it. So.
And that could be substantial.
Could be. Yeah.
But, and there's been talk of it. One specific item location that they talked about already was at the auditorium, the basement of the auditorium, that eventually gets fixed up. But we need to find out whether or not there's even access to that. We have four. The problem is that it's not just getting fiber there, but we have to get our fiber connections, our four fiber feeds that we have to get those back to Charter, the head end. That's what we need. We have to have a direct feed from the studio now in a location where it can go mm-hmm. back. So if there's not a way to get into a building, then obviously something is going to have to be done mm-hmm. or we wouldn't move. So
yeah. I'm on that committee, and right now obviously the committee appreciates the auditorium and its historic value and what it adds to the community. That's not an issue. I don't know if it's not floating to the top. There's advantages and disadvantages, and right now the committee you know, at this point, I would say they're not leaning in that direction. So let's leave it at that.
And we're not. They're talking about closing the studio and moving to another location. Is what it is. It's not just locating it. So you're everything that's in there that we need would be pulled over, yeah. And then we would start brand new. Because as we've evolved over the years, we're still going through certain equipment that we've had for 15, 20 years. So the cost of that is considerably more than has been discussed, just because we would have to bring everything that is in our network and our servers. Obviously, those have to come over with the fiber feed that we would get, and then we would have to reconfigure everything for new equipment within the studio for if we do a live program or whatever, because that the equipment that we have is would just it's not worth trying to take it all apart. Because it's so old, and then bring it over somewhere, you'd have to start brand new.
And I think that's probably going to be, we might be putting the cart in front of the horse a little bit here. We haven't even decided on a location. I don't know that who knows where it's going to end up. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's still kind of in flux, and we're trying to.
It's all in the air right now.
We're trying to figure it out.
And you're talking about, would they know for sure that there's going to be a council chambers in the new city hall?
Correct.
So that is one. That's one thing. The whole rack thing is an additional thing.
Yeah.
Yep. In fact, Fernando has requested that myself and Ross and our franchise attorney Brian Gogan get together and discuss the pros and cons of what a move would mean to the city or to the studio and mm-hmm. try to work those out.
Yeah, and that could probably be a discussion at a future meeting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of a segue here. Future meetings. It seems like we don't meet on a monthly basis. It's a as need
that's
basis.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to be brought up or have a meeting on, or how do you feel about that?
I don't think, you know, I hate to have meetings just to have meetings.
Right.
And so I like the as-needed idea.
Okay.
You know, it might be okay to have one every 6 months, whether you need it or not, but certainly not a monthly meeting would be way overkill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So.
And I guess if you could put that in the notes that maybe 6 months from now, we can discuss it and say, hey, what do you think? Should we pull the committee together? And, you know, we might have something to discuss. We might be talking about a new city hall or not. I don't know.
And if you've got nothing to do, nothing to talk about, send out that notice at 6 months and say, here are the reasons we're not going to have a meeting. Fine.
Okay. I think that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just put down here, we'll review in 6 months if we need to call another meeting or not.
Okay, so that would be around August, possibly?
Yeah.
Okay. And if something comes up before then, we can address it.
That's what we've done in the past.
Yeah, you can have a meeting then.
If we have to have a meeting, so it needs to be something that would need to go through the advisory committee as a recommendation to the council, then we can certainly meet then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or if it's just for information, you know, that's something we can do too. We've done that in the past.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need to discuss? I noticed you rolled out some paper.
I didn't know if it was other business, but...
Yeah, let's go.
And this just came up today. I actually sent off this letter to Senator Klobuchar and Senator Smith and Representative Peterson. It has to do with the legislation that's going on with the rulemaking and possibly the rewrite of the Federal Cable Act of 84. It's been updated a few times, but what it says is that this has to do with the possibility of cable providers charging for in-kind services, and it doesn't really affect us that much. But it does certain access centers. It could mean a lot of money to them. So I sent this off. It was part of the information that came from the Alliance for Community Media. And then this is a letter that was written by Congresswoman Anna Eshow. And she is in favor of this. She's from California, and she has sent off this letter. She's actually working with the with Congress and where they're talking about it. If you read this, you can actually, it gives you a little more information in depth. What I did is just sent this off. The letter that I sent was just our concern about the in-kind fees, and she's on board with this. She's again from the state of California. And has written, this letter has gone to the Congress of the United States, House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., and she's CC'd a number of judges, or their commissioners. So this was a part of the support. And then right now there's been over 4,500 responses to the rulemaking matter. And they're looking to get, maybe up to 6,000 if they can. So if anybody here wants that email,
I could send it to you, and then you can just click on it, and then you would actually send something similar to this to the same people.
Sure.
It just gets to them. So
why don't you go ahead and share that with the people on the committee?
Okay. I'll forward the email to everybody, and then you can just take a look at it. But this wasn't in the email, but this one that was sent out in support from the.
Rudy, do you want to notify the committee a little bit more exactly how this would alter?
Right. Well, the thing is that we are provided some in-kind services. Like, we get some internet feeds, not internet feeds. We get cable drops for certain locations within the city. Well, what Charter is saying is that, you know, these in-kind things should come at a cost. So what they want to do is they want to say, okay, well, we want to be able to deduct these costs from the franchise because they're already paying you 5%, and then we're giving you these free things. They want to eliminate all the free things, the in-kind things that they're doing. Well, it goes a lot deeper than that, because if you're not watching it, the cable providers could say, okay, well, now not only are we going to charge you for these drops and take it away from your franchise, well, now they can say, hey, you're using four fibers for your four channels to go back to Charter. Now we're going to charge you for that too. And that would come against the franchise fees, but nobody knows how much would they charge? They could charge whatever they wanted to, because there's not another provider here. So one thing leads to another, and as it goes down the way, it keeps getting worse and worse. So they want to stop it. They want to get the information out to the people. And again, this letter right here actually does a really pretty good job of explaining it. She gets it, and there's a lot of other people that get that too. So we just want to make sure that those in-kind services, and again, with our franchise in the city, what we have here in the city of Wilmer, we don't really get much in-kind.
Well, you know, this is detailed enough and foreign enough to us. You know, you're familiar with it, but we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you sent this out to us, would you have the draft letter we should use too?
Oh yeah, that actually will come in the email.
So we could use it to basically use this thing,
same
and put our name
thing
at the bottom, and some kind of a title that says,
and so basically
Larry Fuyan, committee member or something.
You would see the exact same thing, except for the sincerely would be all your own information.
All right, fine.
Yeah, and like I said, there's 4,500 responses so far, and they're hoping and they went over 6,000. They have, I think 3 weeks left.
So, as well as the address to send it to.
Actually, it's just email. You click send, and then it confirms that you've sent it to all three of these people.
Right, great.
And then also the Alliance gets notice that these many people from Wilmer or wherever are actually getting it to. Alliance for Community Media is our national association, and our state association is MACTA, which is the Minnesota Association of Community Telecommunication Administrators. So we at the federal level, the Alliance is the best resource that we have. We're a member of the Alliance for Community Media.
I think I sent something directly to Senator Klobuchar, and this was months ago when we got something in. We get these emails from different organizations,
mm-hmm.
and inside there's little tidbits, and they were talking about the erosion of the city governments going against the cable cables, the mass media kind of things, and eroding our ability to make money, but charge franchise fees and stuff like that. And I expressed my
concern. I think that she understands that too. The thing is that it's so simple. It's such an easy thing to understand, because Charter runs their cables through our city's public rights of way, our streets, our roads, mm-hmm. and they profit millions of dollars from it. So back in 1984, they created the Federal Cable Act, and it basically said that because you're profiting from the use of the public rights of way as taxpayers that we pay for these roads and streets, and you're profiting, that the city would get a 5% franchise fee to do programming and have things that you could have on television that you would not normally get covered for broadcast. Because, you know, I mean, we once had Alexandria, and I don't think Alexandria channels, I don't even know if they exist anymore. So that was the closest that we could get. So now we're able to put all these meetings and all those programs that we talked about
mm-hmm.
on our shows. So that's what it's all about. But as technology changes, the cable companies want out of the franchise. They're hoping that this technology change will allow them to get out, but they just can't. I mean, they're wired. So when you talk about wireless technologies, that's completely different. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand how somebody can't understand that the use of the public rights way. That's exactly what it was about.
Yeah, they're basically paying a fee, and now they want to rake it back.
Right.
right.
We've even heard Charter. We've talked about that with the programming when we met with them when we asked for the fourth channel. Charter realizes that we're an asset. And any public education and government channel is an asset to the cable provider because it's programming that a dish can't get, another competitor can't get. Cable systems have franchise fees and they have paid channels, but your other over the top, we talked about OTT, that's wireless, or satellite, any of the satellite options, those don't have public education and government programming. So we know that we're an asset because people will purchase cable because of what they have on PEG. Some people can't because they're in a location that they can't, but you know, it depends on what you're looking for. There's options and there's competitors, but it's important to know that, and the cable companies know that programming that's provided for what all local programming is important because it's an asset to their cable system.
Yeah, I think that's important to keep in mind about what we provide through the public for the public is very beneficial, right. And we've got to maintain that the importance of that. It's a avenue that we have to keep open.
And it's exploded over the last 5 years because now look at all the things that we have that you don't necessarily have to have cable to get the programming that we have because we have on-demand programming, not only on the city's website, but we have a whole RAC website that's dedicated to hundreds of programs every week that people can watch. They don't have to have cable. So the meetings and those things are all out there for the general public to see. So it's not just TV. You know, you're not just, you know, if you lose a channel, you know, that's something, but you know, you still have an option and another way to get it. That's a service that the city provides. Where, you know, some access centers are not all run by the city. They have another entity, a nonprofit that runs it. Because they may have a commission of six or seven cities in the metro area, so each entity will kick in a certain amount of money to cover the costs of that. So, you know, we provide a service way beyond the scope of how it was intended in 84 with just television, now with internet and mobile and phones and everything else. It's available to people that want to watch it.
Just to play devil's advocate just for a minute here, that on-demand programming, and if, you know, we ever had the technology and the equipment to feed it to the UHF channels or something like that too, that could be an argument against us because we're now taking their PEG money and making all these things and feeding it to competitors.
Right.
So, I mean, we got to kind of keep that in the back of our mind, I think, a little bit.
Right.
That's they are a competitor against the cable provider.
Yep.
And they had asked at one time if there was a possibility of getting our programming, and certainly they could if they really wanted it, because...
Well, they'd have to pay some money for it.
No, they could actually have it, because anything that the city does, anything that anybody puts on demand in our channels, you can just download it.
Oh, I see.
So the meetings, if they wanted to have a video file, they could just download it, and if they had a way to air it.
I was just going to say that they would have to finance the technology to air it. That's what I was talking about.
Yep, that's right. That's correct. And that's been discussed, but we've never pursued it because it's not, you know, even 5 years ago, it was that nobody wanted to put anything online because of that same reason. Why would you put it online and now people won't need cable to watch it? Mm-hmm. But that's not the case anymore. Now it's a huge asset to have those meetings, to go out to everybody. Some people would say, oh, well, I don't watch your meetings because I don't have RAC. And it's like, well, that's fine, but, you know, you can watch it now. Well, I don't have internet. That's what they say now. And I go, well, you can go watch it at the library. You can watch it at the community center. So they have free access with computers. So if you want to watch it, you can watch it. There's places where you don't have to pay anything for it. So
sure.
It's changed a lot. And it's gotten better and better, you know.
Yeah.
As long as we can keep putting as much local programming that we have on.
Yeah, and I agree. That's that's what's going to make it this special is local programming.
Right. And you know, it's like any other Enthusiast City. Some people may not watch it. Some people may not use the Dorothy Olson Aquatic Center. Some people may not use the Civic Center. You know, everybody has their own things that they do. So it doesn't just because somebody doesn't watch it or somebody is not using it or an entity of the city. I mean, that's you know, common in any city. Yeah. It's there. I mean, we know that we go to approximately, well, just within the city of Wilmer, approximately 5,500 homes. And we're close to 9,000 when you include the county, because we go to New London, Spicer, Candiwai, and Pannock. And then internet-wise, we go everywhere. You have an internet access fee, so.
Well, it seems like after a city council meeting, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, I saw you on TV. Mm-hmm. I like what you said. Or so, it's not 5,000, but people are watching it. People mm-hmm. are watching it.
And it's funny because usually you don't hear from people unless there's a problem with something. You know, like, or the church program didn't air, which we've solved because now we're doing video files. But we have an exercise program that we have on, and sometimes the DVD gets a little kooky and yeah. it doesn't air, and I get a call. So it's nice that when you're out, you do have people tell you because they're telling you that they did watch it. So you know people are watching.
Right.
And you can look at, you know, even the stuff that's posted on YouTube or Facebook. There's actually numbers that you can track, too. And those numbers, I think the last time I looked, the Polar Plunge that I recorded in January, at the end of January, was at over 7,000 views.
Wow.
That's the number one watched video that we shoot every year.
Hmm.
And that was just on Facebook. That wasn't YouTube. Mm-hmm. YouTube is not the place to watch it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is the place to watch the videos. So
okay.
we make sure that the videos that are directly city related, that are real good events that are popular, we make sure that those go to the city's Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Is there any other business? I guess I fell out of order a little bit that we need to talk about. Ross?
No, that was probably all of it there.
Okay.
The access franchise change.
Okay. We talked about consideration of future meetings.
Yep.
I'll ask one last time, is there anything anybody wants to raise before I ask for a motion to adjourn?
I just want to bring up taping the City Hall Task Force meeting, but I don't know if that is here or if we can just talk about it.
I don't, you know, what's your question, I guess, is...
Well, it's not a question. He had mentioned wanting to videotape the City Hall Task Force meeting, and I brought it up with the mayor, and he said currently there is a citizen videotaping it. However, he thought since we have staff that would like to do it and they're professional, it would be better to have staff do it. So I don't know if we just do that then, or we have to have the rest of the council approve it, or
I don't know how that would go. Do you have any thoughts?
We would do exactly the same thing as the individual that's recording it now. It would be the same exact equipment. All you have to do is bring the camera in, plug it in, hit record, and when it's done, hit stop, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing is that the individual that records it now, I don't necessarily get it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a day lapse,
mm-hmm.
where if I recorded it or somebody else would record it, it would be on that same day.
Oh, right, right.
There's sometimes within that, there is a delay in when somebody else records it.
Right.
The other thing, though, is that it is being recorded, like this meeting is being recorded.
Right.
There's an audio file, but I know that that's more of a...
I think video.
It's hard to find it. It's hard to find it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't air. It doesn't air on TV. So, I mean, if somebody wasn't recording it, then they would have to try to find where the video file is on the city website, or the audio file on the city website.
It is harder to find audio
because
I looked for that for a finance meeting and it was harder to find.
So I mean, I don't. That individual has said that, you know, he is going to continue to record it, but if there comes a time where it's not recorded, then
I don't know. I guess he wouldn't know that until somebody that he doesn't show up to record it.
I suppose we could talk to the city administrator and say, hey, we've got the resources to do this. Why don't we talk about doing it?
Well, yeah, and the mayor said if there's the means available to do it, it's policy to do it. So.
So should we, well, we can't make a motion. We don't have a quorum, right?
No.
So right now, I'm going to, for lack of a quorum, I'm going to table it. Is that the right thing to do? Or, you know.
No, because then we meet in August.
Well, I don't think you're voting on it, though, so I don't know if you would.
Because if it's already a policy, then.
Well, so should we?
I don't think it's a RAC policy, though. I don't know. No, there's nothing in there. I mean, the policy just says that, you know, the equipment is available to check out. But I don't know that there's ever been. I mean, other than, you know, we do the city council meetings. We have two staff that do city council meetings. We had two staff that did city council work sessions.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to now back to the committee meetings, you know, we don't do anything with those. We never did before. We've never recorded a.
Right. I just feel like City Hall is a bigger.
The town. Well, that, the, and that's something
that people
that's
are really
interested in.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I'm glad that he is recording it because,
yeah.
You know, that's where I've gotten all the information that I've heard about us, and where the potential move is for us. And I was like, oh wow. Otherwise,
that's
I never would.
To me.
Yeah.
It's
new.
Sure. I think I'm wondering if this isn't more of an administrative thing than a committee. I mean, about all we do anyway is make recommendations.
Right.
Right.
But, I mean, if the mayor wants to do it, if it's policy, if it's supposed to be done, then it's, I would think it's a kind of a decision between the administration of RAC
right.
and the city administration.
Which
have you have the resources? Do you have the resources to do it? And are you willing to do it? And,
yeah. The city administrator is the department head
yeah.
for RAC. So it would be a decision by...
We can request that. Why don't
right.
we just send out
yeah, you as a council? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
why don't we just you and I send out an email? I can send one. You can send one.
Yeah.
And say, hey, you're getting feedback that the public wants to hear what's happening during.
Yeah. We send that to Ike.
Yeah, I would say send it to Ike.
Okay.
We can send it to Ike. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that we need to talk about? I thank you for bringing that up. I think that's, like you said, that's in a, people are interested. They want to know
yeah.
what's going on, and this
yeah.
that's a big deal. So,
yeah. And we want transparency, and that's...
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. I think you nailed that. So, is there anything else? Can I get a motion to to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
A second. So moved, we are adjourned.